topic that we're dealing with today is an extremely important one. It is one that's about heaven and hell. Jesus said that those of us who are in Him are branches, and the Father will cut us off if we don't bear fruit. How important is that? The people that you can reach if you go out and visit and share the gospel with them, it makes a difference in whether they go to heaven or not. Whether we do local outreach and evangelism and share our faith with people makes a difference with Christ and His church. Each local church is going to be best measured by how well we reach out to those who are around us. And so we need to be very interested in the topic we're talking about today. It's crucial. Now, at the class time between the sermons, we're going to be dealing with kind of the whole picture of total congregational evangelism. And in this lesson, we're dealing with just one piece of that, and you'll see at the class time how it fits into the whole picture. But today we're going to be talking about conversational evangelism. Conversational evangelism. Now, I want you to be thinking about that particular topic as we go along. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16:16. Go and preach. Jesus said, to the apostles, He said, "Be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth." Acts 1:8. So let's see how the first century church carried this out. Acts tells the story of that. Peter preached in Acts chapter 2. And 3,000 were baptized on the day of Pentecost. And then there were 5,000 men were added, and more were added after that, and a great company of the priests believed. And eventually there came to be an estimated 25,000 Christians in Jerusalem. By 350 A.D., how many Christians do you think there were? Rodney Stark says in his book, The Rise of Christianity, about 34 million Christians. 34 million. How in the world did they do that? Well, it's mostly by word of mouth. They use their conversations. Let's study this method and see what we can learn about conversational evangelism. What is it? Well, it's talking about Jesus and His church in our ordinary conversations. Colossians 4, the verse we had read a little bit earlier, say, "And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that we know how to answer everyone." Notice some of those key phrases. Open a door. Proclaim it clearly. Act wisely toward outsiders. Make the most of opportunities. Conversation full of grace. Know how to answer everyone. Well, that's a strong verse about telling us what we need to be doing with those around us. Open a door. Make the most of opportunities. Conversations. Well, in the early church, they used this evangelism a lot. Let's look at a few verses that tell how they were going about doing this. In Acts chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, after Peter and John had proclaimed had done the miracle of healing the lame man, everybody in Jerusalem knows they've done an outstanding miracle. How'd they find out? No TV, no social media, no radio, no newspaper. How'd they find out? People just talked about it. People were sharing, telling what's going on. In Acts chapter 5, verse 42, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Does that describe you? Do you never stop sharing your faith with people? Acts 8, 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. I want you to think about this. The church in Jerusalem, remember the church in Jerusalem were scattered because of persecution. And the next place they went, well, I'm not going to tell anybody who I am because I may get persecuted again. Not that. That's not how they thought. So if you had to leave Little Rock because you were persecuted and you ended up in Fayetteville, would you tell the people in Fayetteville you remember the church? They did. They weren't afraid. They were willing to take whatever risk it was. Sometimes we think there's a lot of risk in talking to somebody, telling them I'm a Christian or telling them what happened at church. Really? We've got risk? Think about what risk. They really had risk. We don't have risk. They really had risk. So they went and told it wherever they went. Acts 11. Those scattered by persecution went to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, telling the message. Some began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. They were so full of it, they were so excited about the message that they could not help but spread the word. So, what is conversational evangelism? It's talking in your regular daily conversations about the good news you've experienced with Jesus and his people. Just talking about it when you go around. Let's look at some specific Bible cases. We talked about it in general. Let's look at some specific Bible cases about this. Jesus and the woman at the well. Jesus started the conversation, "Would you give me a drink?" And she said, "You a Jew? Ask me a Samaritan for a drink?" And Jesus said, notice the turn. "If you knew who it was speaking to you, you'd ask me and I'd give you water and you'd never thirst again." Notice how he starts the conversation with something physical and then turns it to something spiritual. Well, how about Paul? Paul was a great example of this. Paul in Athens is in the agora, in the marketplace, where they had shops, places of entertainment, places for worship, places that were government offices. What does that sound like? What do we call that? The mall, okay? Paul is in the mall. And he runs into some people in the mall, Epicurean and Stoic philosophers who are wandering around, and Paul begins a conversation with them in the mall. And before long, they get so interested that they take him up to the nearby Mars Hill, where he delivers that wonderful message in Acts chapter 17. Started with conversation in the mall. Paul wasn't going to let that opportunity pass by. Then Paul in Jerusalem. Paul was around the temple courts, and he had a Gentile with him, and they accused him of taking the Gentile into a court where he was not supposed to take Gentiles. It wasn't true, but they accused him of that. And they were about to kill him, and the Roman soldiers came and rescued him and took him up the steps. And Paul said, "Wait just a minute. There's some people down there I'd like to talk to, people who just tried to kill me." And he shared with them the story of his conversion. Paul not going to miss a chance. Well, he's kept in jail. He's taken to Caesarea and kept there for 2 years. He hadn't done anything wrong. There's not any clear accusation against him, but he's still kept in jail. And he's brought before Agrippa after a couple of years. And he tells Agrippa about his conversion. And Agrippa said, "Paul, are you trying to make me a Christian?" Paul said, "Not only you, but everybody who hears my voice. Not going to miss a chance." Then Paul goes to Rome, still a prisoner. He is in what we would call house arrest. He has a house to live in. People can come to see him, but he's chained to a Roman soldier. Chained to a Roman soldier. And I can just hear Paul's mind working. "You mean that soldier can't get away?" And the word of the Lord spread throughout the whole Praetorian Guard, the Bible says. How do you suppose it happened? Paul's not going to miss a chance. So these are some cases in the Bible about such conversations. Well, let me mention a few modern cases of it. There's a woman that goes to the beauty shop. I don't know much about beauty shops. You can look at me and tell I don't know much about beauty shops. My hair's not curly. But I understand they talk. Am I doing okay, ladies? They talk. And this woman thinks, if we're going to talk, why don't I talk some about what's happening at church, what our young people are doing, something the preacher said, some verse of scripture I've been thinking about. Why don't I share that with my beauty operator? And she did. And over time, they were friends, and they began to talk about these things. And before long, the woman said to her beauty operator, "You know, my husband and I like to do Bible studies. Would you be interested in having a Bible study with us?" And the woman said, "Yes." So they had a Bible study with her and her husband and their older children. And before long, the husband and wife and two older children were baptized into Christ, started a conversation at the beauty shop. Well, there's a man who went to the cafe. He is a mechanic, and he goes across the street to the cafe every day for lunch. And he tells the waitresses where he goes to church and invites them to come. And none of them ever come, but he invites them and lets them know where he goes and has a conversation a little bit about it. One day, one of those women finds out that she's got cancer. She wants to talk to somebody religious. Who does she know? The mechanic. And she talks to him, and he says, "You know, I think our preacher could really help you right now." She said, "I'd like to talk to him." And so he sets up a meeting with the preacher, and the woman and some of her friends come, and that results in a Bible study, and eventually the woman and three of her friends are baptized into Christ. Started the conversation, a man with a waitress. I know a guy who got a Bible study going with his bank teller. You can't have a very long conversation with the bank teller, but he managed it. Well, here's another case. Case about a woman in the library of a state university. She's taking a class there. She goes there to study, and she has her Bible with her, and her Bible is lying out on the table. And a woman from China comes by and sees that book and says to the woman, "Is that a Bible?" She said, "Yes." She said, "Would you tell me about that book?" And so she said, "Of course." And they set up a meeting with this woman and some of her friends, and they studied the Bible, and eventually the woman was converted to Christ, and that's what began the international ministry at our congregation, which has baptized scores of people into Christ. Started because a woman had a Bible on the table in a library. I know a guy in his pickup. He drives his pickup in his work, and he keeps tracks up on the dashboard. And when somebody gets in to ride with him, what are they going to do? They can see what's on the dashboard. All kinds of ways. There was you're going to think I made this up, okay? This is a true story. A woman is speeding and she's stopped by the policeman. Now don't laugh. She's stopped by the policeman. The policeman starts to write her a ticket and gives her the ticket. And he says, you know, you've been so nice about this. I'm still going to have to give you the ticket. But you've been really nice. And she says, well, that's because I'm a Christian. I go to church over here. Why don't you go with me sometime? And he did, and he was baptized into Christ. So what I'm telling you is to go out and speed. Let's don't go there, okay? Now, what are the keys of doing this well? I'm going to give you four keys, and I want you to take the pieces of paper, the little cards that are on the end of the pew, and pass them along. I'd like for each person to have one. And I want you to write on it, and then I want you to take the card with you as a reminder. And here are the things to write on it. First of all, write, show Jesus. Show Jesus. As you're going about in your daily lives, you need to be like the woman stopped with the policeman. You need to show Jesus in what you do. People ought to recognize there's something special about you. That you act differently than the average person. You're honest and fair and kind and loving. And people ought to see Jesus in you. You ought to show Jesus. That's a way to get conversations started. And when they do start, they're going to know there's something special about you. So show Jesus in your life. Secondly, start with Jesus. As you begin in a conversation, it may not be the first words you speak, but fairly soon you'll want to say something about Jesus. People respond well to Jesus. People like Jesus. Even people who aren't Christians think highly of Jesus. That's a good way to get into the conversation, is to talk about Jesus. And then speak like Jesus. Write that down. Speak like Jesus. Most of the time, sometimes Jesus was pretty stern, but very often with the children and with people who were there to be healed and whatever, Jesus was very kind and loving and considerate. Sometimes he asked questions. Sometimes he answered their questions. Jesus, learn to speak like Jesus with a kindness and a concern and an interest in other people. Speak like Jesus. And finally, show the church of Jesus. At some point, we've got to show people the church. We believe in Churches of Christ that we take the first century church as our model. We want to live like those people lived when the apostles approved of their lives. We want to do the things in church, in worship. We want to do the things in our service like the early church did, where the apostles were in charge and knew what the right way was, and we want to use that as our model. And so we begin to get things about the church into our conversation, because we want them eventually to be baptized into Christ. And so these four things can guide you in doing your work in conversational evangelism. Show Jesus, start with Jesus, speak like Jesus, and the church, get them involved and understanding about the church. Now, what are opportunities? Where can you do this? Let me just run quickly through about eight places where you can do this. You can do it in the home, with your children, with your parents, with others in your family, with cousins who aren't Christians, or uncles or aunts or whatever. Think of people in your family where you might do this. Think about neighbors. Do you know your neighbors? Get acquainted with your neighbors. Walk your dog. You know, people say that neighbors are more friendly with somebody who walks a dog than just walks by himself. So walk your dog through the neighborhood, okay? I know a guy who was concerned about some of these things, and he said, okay, I'm going to invite all the neighbors in my cul-de-sac, 13 of them, to dinner on one night. And that's how I'm going to get acquainted with all of them. So he left a note at 13 doors. How many you spent things showed up? All 13! I don't know whether they had enough food to take care of 13 or not, but people will respond if you reach out. Be the one who helps people in the neighborhood and utilize that as a way of getting started with people in conversations. Then at school, some of you are involved in schools. You're students in school. You are a teacher in school. I heard about a guy who, his fourth grade friend invited him to church, and he didn't come, but he invited him to church. Years later, the man got very ill, and he said, you know, I think it's time I go to church. Where am I going to go? I'm going to go where my fourth grade friend invited me to go. You just never know. You never know. And so there are things in school or at work. People you know, have a conversation. Last week, one of my fellow elders at Memorial Road told me that he had been to a foreign country on a plane with his boss. And he took with him a book that was a religious book. And he read it on the airplane. And before long, it was easy to get in a conversation about that book with the person sitting beside him. And eventually, he said, I finished the book. Would you like to read it? And the man said, yes. So you can use books. Hand your friend a book. I wrote a book for that purpose called God's Mystery. Just take one and hand it to a friend. And tell him you'd like for him to read it. And that'll be a good way to get the conversation started. So with the people at work, recreation. There are recreation opportunities. Maybe you're involved in coaching, or you're involved in sitting beside people at a ball game. Organizations you're in give you opportunities. Organizations that aren't religious, but you're with people and you're there with them and you sit beside them at a meal and you're active with them in this organization, use that as opportunity. You're shopping. Sometimes even while you're shopping, you're standing by people. Clerks are wrapping up your package. Begin a conversation with them. Visiting with friends, you're just having good visits. Use those. Just look for these opportunities. So it is one of the ways, in the class time we'll study more about this, but this is one of the ways in which you can be reaching out and bearing fruit for the Lord. And remember, if you don't bear fruit, you get cut off. So here's an easy way to do it. Doesn't cost anything. You don't have to raise the church budget. Just use conversations. Just use conversations. Now, let me finish with these three things. Make a commitment. I hope you'll make a commitment right now in which you say, yes, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to look for opportunities. I'm going to make opportunities. I'm going to be talking Jesus. Share your results with others. Share with people. Tell them what you've been doing. Let them tell what they've been doing. You might have In the first of a Bible class for a month, you might say, okay, we're going to start by letting people share what they've been doing with conversational evangelism. Share your results with others. And, of course, you need to pray. Pray that God will open doors. Pray that he'll let you have the insight to see when a door is opened. And so, shine like lights in the world. That's what we're called to do, is shine like lights in the world. So here's a way to shine with conversational evangelism. Well, in the Bible class, we'll be studying more about a total picture of evangelism, but this is one of the big pieces and one that everybody can do. So I call on you to give your attention to conversational evangelism. Now we're going to sing a song of invitation. And if you need to come and confess Jesus, repenting of your sins and be baptized into Christ, this would be a time to let us know about that. Maybe somebody's had conversations with you and you're ready to take that step. Or maybe you are one who needs to come and let us pray with you about something. Whatever your need, if you need to do that, will you come while we stand and sing?